You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two. Hour number two already on this Camel Eve. That's the day before a hump day. I got several text messages. I'll grab those real quick before I go into the next break. Mac from Athens heard the text from John from Huntsville. He says about the 50-cent corn dog, which I do have a hankering for corn dogs now, I will say. I just corn dogs and tater tots. Tater tots and corn dogs.
Both?
Maybe both. Like, yeah. Okay, anyway. Mac from Athens says, I use the Halloween 50-cent corn dog as a ministry. This is my third year. Great way to help people and show the simple kindness of Jesus. So you just give out corn dogs?
Yeah.
Actually, that's a great idea. 50-cent corn dogs and then start handing them out.
Corn dog ministry.
I like it.
Jesus liked corn dogs, I feel certain. That's good. Thank you, Mac. Appreciate it. Brian from Huntsville, regarding my monologue earlier, says, you've lost that love and feeling. Sigh. 2 out of 3 ain't bad is better. I ain't singing no meatloaf. I ain't singing no meatloaf in the hallways at the school, no. But thank you, Brian. Jerry from Decatur, if this country disarms its citizens, our enemies would lick their chops and occupation would be no problem. Airborne. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate your service. And yes, airborne all the way. Brett from Coleman. Say, Phil, remember our cheap 80s Halloween costumes at the mask broke after about the second house, so you're going around holding your mask in one hand, dragging a pillowcase full of candy, and the other knocking on doors with your rear end. It's the only day you can dress up like a woman, go next door to your neighbor's house and ask for something, and nobody cares. Yes, I suppose that's true. JT from Town Creek. I voted for Trump in every election he has been a part of, and I would vote for him again. I'm wondering, however, at what point does he become a liability to Republicans winning the presidency? Well, see, the thing is, that's just it. They believe that they can make him a liability. What they're trying to do is they're trying to create their Trump derangement syndrome, in my opinion, is trying to create what I would call Trump fatigue. They want people to get worried that, well, maybe some of this is real. I mean, if he's got that many cases against him, maybe he's a bad guy. Maybe, oh, he's got how much money? Oh, Did he has all the money he says he have? Oh, wait, he said, what about the, well, maybe he shouldn't have, I don't know, the insurrection? Really? Oh, and next thing you know, I mean, so yeah, I mean, I look at it and think, I don't know right now that anybody else has as strong a chance. I think DeSantis is still, if it were not for Trump being in the race, I think DeSantis would be head and shoulders above the rest. Although he's plateaued a bit. Nikki Haley's, you know, chomping at the bit. Vivek Ramaswamy is too young, inexperienced, and has really begun to sort of chap some people with his foreign policy stances. But Trump right now is the only one who can get it done, I believe, and yet he's having to overcome so much to get there. And I'm going to tell you right now, if we can get him across the finish line, then certainly I think he has an opportunity to clean some house like nobody else would. I think he'd be cleaning the house with a passion, like all night long. Alice from Huntsville says, listening to your show and about Trump, is there not anybody, Supreme Court, something to stop all these DAs and judges that seem to be working against the law? Well, see, here's the thing. The Supreme Court is not going to get involved. I mean, they can occasionally get in what's called an interlocutory motion. Basically, it's something in the middle of things, like a, you know, like an injunction or a gag order. They can step in and say, you can't do that. But they don't rule on the merits of the case until the case is complete at the lower level. So I do believe that what you're going to wind up seeing is there's going to be something's going to go forward to the Supreme Court. I don't know what. It may be this 14th Amendment race that they're in right now to try and disavow him off the ballots, but we'll see. But the Supreme Court on the merits of these cases is not going to get involved until such time as there's been a lower court ruling. And even then, there's going to be an intermediary appeal unless the Supreme Court recognizes the time sensitivity of it and pulls it up, which is very, 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 very rare. Jeff from Indiana says, remember, Phil, you can't be charged with slander or libel if what you say is true. The prosecutor's a thug. What? Yeah, that's a great point. Truth is the greatest defense in a slander or libel or defamation case. And he says, how do you correct your system when the judge is corrupt and the people who can impeach the judge are corrupt? What's your options at that point? You pray that the next level up is not. That's your appeal. Anita from South Huntsville. Imagine hearing a decade of headlines about the arrest and prosecution of numerous Chinese businessmen and party officials and thinking, gosh, there sure are a lot of corrupt people in positions of authority in China. That's essentially the perspective many Americans have about Trump's 91 indictments. That's a great point. Communist dictators ransack society, convict them and send them to jail on you know, false charges. And then we can sit over here and listen to it and go, wow, they must have been really corrupt. Were they? Then again, you look at Trump, 91 separate charges or indictments. Is he that corrupt? Really? Okay, let me jump into my next topic. Keep in mind, too, bottom of the hour, we're going to have an assist in this as we talk to a guy named David Coffey. I'll tell you more about him in a minute. But he's in a fight right now to save generational farmland from being diminished by a TVA-backed solar farm. So I'm going to remind you guys, I've told the story before, but I got to bring it up because it's so pertinent to where we are right now. If you think this stuff is out there somewhere, if you think it's only going to be like off the Chesapeake Bay area where they set up these windmill farms, if you think it's only going to be, you know, giant solar arrays in California, you're wrong. The stuff's happening right here in Alabama. So when I was in the state Senate, we had a situation in my district. We have a beautiful, I've told you before, we have a beautiful, of course, my district is beautiful, northeast Alabama. Lower foothills of the Appalachians, lakes, you know, small towns, gorgeous scenery. And there's a place called Shimbone Ridge. You can see it running along the adjacent to Highway 411 going from Etowah towards Cherokee County, heading towards like Rome, Georgia. That's kind of this picture going in a 45-degree angle from Gadsden up towards Rome, Georgia. Passing through, you know, the Weiss Lake area in Cherokee County, and just gorgeous, beautiful land. Lots of rolling farmland alongside the base of Shimbone Ridge. You know, small, you know, country farms and just gorgeous. Anyway, Shimbone Ridge is also the home of Cherokee Rock Village. If you haven't seen Cherokee Rock Village, look it up. It is incredible. We're talking about, it's one of the most epic places for rock climbing and camping in the entire Southeast. You can walk trails in between giant, like, house-sized boulders. Cherokee Rock Village. Anyway, Shimbone Ridge was the target of a company called Pioneer Green that wanted to come in and set up a giant solar farm. Not solar farm, but a wind farm. The blades on these wind farm turbines were as big as the wingspan on a 747 jet. They're huge. They were going to build these 150-foot tall towers and these giant, you know, revolving blades. And these things are known to bring all kinds of problems. Not only that, but they did not want to have to provide insurance. They didn't want to have anybody tell them they had to have a reclamation plan for the land if they ever shut down operations. They didn't want to have to deal with things like offsets from local property lines. So you had farms next door with cattle, and you hear about things like the woof, woof, woof. And what it does, it freaks out cattle. And then the strobe light effect when the suns are behind them, and it's kind of like a strobe light on your cows or on your farm or on your houses. You have occasional times when they go bad and they have what's called blade throw. Look up wind farm blade throw. Holy crap. Picture the wing of a 747 flying off and landing in your front yard or crushing your house. Or for that matter, what about ice throw? They have a thing called wind, let's look it up, wind farm ice throw. And they have ice that builds up on the blades, and then at some point it breaks off and it slings like bowling balls. It's like a trebuchet from, you know, medieval warfare, just launching these bowling ball sized chunks of ice through house walls. All this stuff is real. And then you also have abandoned wind farms like in Hawaii where they, you know, it didn't work out. So they just abandoned them and they left these things and they sit there and they rust. So I'm going to come back from this break and I'm going to tell you what I did. And it reminds me so much of what we're seeing right now with this proposed solar farm in Lawrence County, Alabama, right up here in our listening area. And I'll tell you how we beat it. I'll tell you how we beat it. And it took people and it took grassroots and it took local legislation. But I'll tell you all about it in more detail and then head right into the next part of the Dipper, the Green New Steel. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. So going back to my story there, so in northeast Alabama, running between Etowah and Cherokee counties along Highway 411, the beautiful Shinbone Ridge, overlooking parts of Weiss Lake and beautiful farmland and coming to its terminus there at Cherokee Rock Village. They wanted to build a giant wind farm. A company named Pioneer Green wanted to come in and using massive government subsidies, they wanted to build the most obnoxious thing that, I mean, basically the community was up in arms. It became a thing. It was the most actively engaged time of my 8 years in the state Senate. And so in Alabama, here's the thing. In Alabama, we have something called local legislation. So you can imagine, just like you hear about in D.C., you know, I'm just a bill. Well, I'm only a bill, and I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. You know how a piece of legislation gets passed, goes through committee, gets voted on by the larger body, passes from one house to the next. They send it to the governor signs it. Woohoo, state law. And then there's this other version, though. It's called local legislation. And it's the kind of thing that's unique in many ways to Alabama. But let's say, for instance, that you've got something. Because our state constitution is so cumbersome. Let's say you've got something that's unique just to your area. Nobody else needs it. You just need, I don't know, you want to authorize Sunday alcohol sales. Okay. Believe it or not, that may require a local legislation bill. Well, the delegation from that area gets together and puts a bill together just for your area, not for statewide application. And they drop that bill into the local legislation committee. It comes out, and then we used to do what's called signing off on it. We would go in, and we would all sign our names to it. And they'd come tell you, Senator, you've got a bill in Local 1 you need to sign. Oh, thank you. You go in there, and you sign. Oh, yeah, this is the one about so-and-so, and you'd sign it. And so once all the signatories for the local delegation are on that bill, it is considered ready to go to the floor. And then you have a day, typically in the Senate, we always called it, where it was. We always dealt with local legislation kind of up front before some of the bigger bills, because you can get them out of the way easier. Well, I made it very clear to the wind farm people, I was going to bring a bill with statewide application. But if they didn't work with us, if they were going to hold out, if they were going to try and be belligerents, if they were going to try and bully their way through with their billions of dollars in federal, you know, subsidies, well, then fine. I'll pass a local bill, and you can't do a thing about it. Because once my local delegation has to face their constituents back home, they'll sign on to that bill, and we'll, by God, get it passed. And that's what we did. Pioneer Green hired 6 lobbying firms. I've never seen another one like it. Have that much intense lobbying against a piece of statewide legislation. And we worked, man. I met with them. They met with me, but they would just not. They did not want to have insurance. They did not want to have setoffs. They didn't want to be good neighbors, basically. They were doing just like what we're hearing right now. We'll hear more about in a minute with this proposed solar farm in Lawrence County. They wanted the land. They wanted to use it. They didn't care what the locals thought. It was not their problem as to whether or not their green energy opportunity would destroy green land. It didn't matter to them what it would do to neighboring property values. They didn't care about neighboring farms, or for that matter, how many farms might come off of the row crop land opportunity. They didn't care. They wanted what they wanted because they were going to make money off of it. And when they wouldn't work on the big bill, I finally said, well, that all right, by God, I'm done with you. And we passed a local bill. And I told them, you're going to wind up seeing, I'm not going to be the only one. You're going to see other local delegations are going to pass their version of a local bill, and you're going to have a patchwork quilt of bills all around this state. Good luck ever trying to get something done because you wouldn't work with us on a statewide bill. And they didn't. And so we did. We passed a local bill. Is there a wind farm in Etowah County and Cherokee County right now? Nope, there is not. There is not. Why? Because we took a stand and we had opportunities. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's the way they're going to get rid of this Lawrence County thing. It's going to be grassroots. And by the way, the people were amazing. The grassroots was amazing on this issue. And the grassroots and the local delegation, and by the way, we actually had a Democrat in our local delegation, but he knew. He's now the mayor of Gadsden, Craig Ford. He knew he had to face the same constituents we did. Everybody got on board. We all signed off on it, and we got that thing passed, and the governor signed it, and Pioneer Green just faded away. And that's what's going to wind up happening. So here's the deal. You got several things going on that affect Alabama, plus others that I'll talk to you about. But I mean, like right now, let me do this. Right now, I pulled this off of the Times Union, which is local to Albany, New York. Lawsuit led in part by Columbia County town officials, a group of municipalities and local environmental organizations were suing the Cuomo administration in New York over the idea that they were going to lose any constitutional home rule by giving up authorities to solar and wind farms. They started a new office called the Office of Renewable Energy Siting. Green energy environmentalists and green energy industry leaders were hailing it as an opportunity to fast-track their project approvals. What does that mean? They don't want the locals to have time to organize. They hate it when you have time to organize. So yes, the Office of Renewable Energy Siting became a thing in New York. At the same time, there was another battle against a 255-acre solar project proposed by Chicago-based Hecate Energy. This is everywhere. They're trying to claim land, and they're trying to come in, and they're setting up things. They call them environmentally friendly. Y'all, they're not environmentally friendly. Not at all. They kill wildlife. Those wind farms, those solar arrays, birds fly over them and drop dead from the heat shining up from them. It's amazing. And by the way, that 255-acre solar array they were talking about putting in Columbia County, New York, well, the one they're talking about in North Alabama, thousands of acres. Thousands. Thousands of acres. Have you ever looked at how many acres thousands of acres is? I mean, an 18-hole golf course is only a few hundred. Think about that. Thousands of acres. Well, listen, if you think this is going to go away, you're wrong. It's going to be a fight. But we're going to be right back in a minute with a guy named David Coffey, who's in that fight. We'll hear what he has to say about what's happening in Lawrence County, give us an earful about the local level, and we'll just keep talking it through. The Green New Steel, that's where we are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.